Good morning. How are you all doing? Good morning to you online, at home. And I'm excited for this new series today, and I hope you're going to get excited with me. We're going to start off this series called Skewed Views. And I love the picture, graphic, that's the word, that Jess came up with. And so this series entitled Skewed Views. And we have to know and believe what we know from God's Word. It's not a choice or preference or opinions, although we often have many preferences and we have a lot of opinions about it. But it's not about that. It's what does God's Word say? And that is the point we always have to go back to. What does God's Word say? Well, I think this. What does God's Word say? And so we want to look at it. We have to. It's not like going into a candy shop, into an ice cream parlor and going, what flavor should I choose today? No, no, there's only one flavor, and it's God's planned flavor. And that's what we subscribe to as followers of Christ. You know that God has a plan for your life, and we've preached on that many times. But Satan also has a plan for your life. And if you're asking around, you'll see other people also have a plan for your life. If you don't know what to do with your life, come and ask me. I'll help you. I've got a plan for your life too. So, but the point is, we want to follow God's plan. God's plan, if we read through Scripture, is rich in His goodness for us and what He wants for us and what He's designed for us. In Psalm 139, it even says, every day was written in your records before I was even born. God is way ahead of the curve when it comes to planning our lives for us. And we want to, and you know that God is a relational God? And so His plans, and you're going to hear me use this word parameters, He has parameters for us in all kinds of relationships, in our marriage, in family, in our workplaces, in our moral standard. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today, so don't get shocked. But often through skewed views, God's Word and His plans for our lives, we determine and we affect those relationships because of skewed views and the way we live our lives through the lenses of skewed views. And we are always looking for a plan and a purpose. I think it's the most asked and sought after question from believers, whether you're a Christian just today or you've been a Christian for 50 years, you still ask, what is God's purpose for my life? And I'm going to tell you that again, like I've always told you, Jesus. Jesus is the purpose and the plan for your life and how we follow the Word and follow Jesus. C.S. Lewis says this, human history is the long, terrible story of man trying to find something other than God which will make him happy. Just think about that for a while. And often, and sadly so, people have the attitude of, I know better. I'm going to do things my way. I've got this sorted out. I'm going to do it my way. You know, you and Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. And so I'll go this alone. I don't need anybody to help me. Everyone said it before. Anybody else say, it's my agenda. I know what I'm doing. It's my body. I can do what I like with it. I don't have much jokes in this sermon today. But I hope to challenge you and through God's Word confront you. Why? Because I have the best at heart for you. Maybe when you're doing it your own way, maybe you should ask these few questions of yourselves. Have I grown spiritually over this last year, year and a half, over COVID? Have I grown more spiritually? Am I more in love with Jesus than I've ever been before? Am I living more for Him or for myself because it's about me and et cetera, et cetera? Prophetic word at the beginning of this year, the church for us as a body, get connected. Am I more connected to the body of Christ than ever before? That's why we have connect groups. I don't know if you didn't get the subtlety of that one. Launching in a few weeks. Or am I just doing things my own way and I still think it's okay? So what I want to preach on this morning is don't live the lie. Don't you like the graphic? Don't live the lie. It's part one of our series. Paul writing to the Christians in Rome, Romans 1, verse 21. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God. Writing to the Christians. Or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. Verse 24. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. Now, I didn't write that. It's in the Bible. They knew God. Yes, they knew God. They had intimate knowledge of God and who he was, yet they chose not to worship him and give thanks to him as God. They wanted to do their own things. And if you go and read Romans 1:21, you read the whole chapter there, you will see that it started off with simple idolatry, and part of it was meaning that they would go down and they would give themselves over to temple prostitutes. And as we said, they did vile things with their bodies. And that means the little word that no one's allowed to mention in church. Sex. Yeah, exactly. Goes on to say they wouldn't worship God. Now we have to understand, worshiping God is not singing songs. Well, not just singing songs. The old English word for worship is worth-ship. The worth of God. I think someone gave the word, Dom started off this morning, talking about he is worthy for us to worship him. And we means we place a higher value on God than on ourselves. And so God is here, and we are here, and he is our Father, and we are his sons and daughters, and he is our Master, and he is our Lord, and we serve him, and the purpose is for him and his purposes. Unfortunately, some still have a skewed view that God doesn't have the right to say what is right and what is wrong. I don't know, I'm still thinking, I know what the Bible says, but I'm still going to do it my way. We understand that God is not above us and we should never place him, but that's what the people were doing in Romans chapter 1. And then he goes on and he says, and the result is that their minds became dark and confused. In ESV, it says, they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. And the point is, when you have placed yourself above God and essentially you've created yourself as God or as the little God that is over the great creator of the universe. And then it goes on and says the result of it, I've said all that already. And then it goes on and says, claiming to be wise. I know better. I know what I'm doing. I know what this is happening. I'm a progressive thinker. I'm a modern day man. The Bible is irrelevant today. It's just stories. It says that they have become foolish in their thinking. In the folly of their thinking, they've become foolish. Do you not know who God is? And then it says God abandoned them to go their own way and to gave themselves up to lusts of their hearts, to impurity. Now the Greek word there is akathasia, which means the impurity of lust. I'm sorry to tell you all this morning, but they dishonored their bodies. The intent is to sexually, immorally dishonor their bodies, live outside of the parameters that God created for marriage, for man and a woman, husband and wife. Verse 26 is great if you go and see Paul elaborates on this immorality. We're not going to get there today, but you can go and do that. You get to choose your life, whether you want to live it outside of God's good and healthy plan for your life. Don't be placed in the place where they read about you and say, you have traded God's truth for a lie. The point is that you worship the created. You worship the created rather than the creator. And we've got to learn to worship the creator above all. You have skewed views of God's plan, who he is. We did a whole series on our position in him. And I want to helpfully today to dispel the lies and reveal the truth of God's plan for us, His good and perfect plan for us. Don't get too quiet on me. You're allowed to say amen. The devil has a hot tip for you. He has a truth. The devil will only tell you lies. He is a pathological liar. Scripture calls him the father of all lies. Why on earth would we ever listen to him when we know that truth? He has no power over you. Well, you don't know how strong the devil is. I'm telling you, I know how weak he is because of Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory. Jesus Christ in you, Holy Spirit, leading and guiding us into all truth. He keeps on peddling his lies to you, and you get to either to live the lie or you don't live the lie. And I'm appealing to you today, listen today and don't live the lie. So the big idea here is, in order for relationships to work, slide, allow the one who designed them to define them. If God designed it this way, let's do it God's way. Don't come up with your own, well, I think it should be like this. What does God's word say? What is His parameter? What does He set in place for us? The one who created gets to decide what creation does. If you're a kid and you build the Lego sets, you get to decide what the Lego set doesn't. Your parents don't come along and tell you what to do with the Lego set. Well, I don't think they do anyway. If you build a sandcastle on the beach, you get to decide. You're creating this little sandcastle. In a much larger and more important way, God created all of us in His image, and He gets to decide and define how we should live. Amen? I'm preaching 80% better than you're responding. Thank you. God created relationships. The first relationship, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God is into relationships. Team, at work, at home, in relationships with one another, how He's called us. Marriages. He has another team called marriages, husband and wife. He knows best what is for us. Thank you. That three-letter word, sex, is a good thing in God's plan, in God's parameters. But it gets distorted and taken out of God's plan. Growing up in church, they wouldn't even talk about this. They wouldn't even, as I'm talking about me as a kid, they never said this word in church, this three-letter word. And then you think up, and the way everything spoke about it, you think up, it's dirty, it's bad, save it for the one you love. Some of you are listening. Habitually, the church doesn't talk about this subject. The world does all the time. Come and join our plan. Come and subscribe to our plan. This is a good thing for your life. It's a lie. Family and parents, honor one another. Children and parents, honor one another. Our bodies, treat it well. Don't abuse your body or allow your body to be abused by others. The church is organically organized. God has a plan, elders, deacons, and saints. That is the plan on how we do life. There is a godly order. It tells you in Corinthians, let everything be done in a godly order. He has a plan for all of mankind. He loves all of mankind. I pray today through this preach that it will challenge you, it will change you, and will comfort you. Some of you, even through this, might feel some guilt and shame. Remember, God is for you. Let me tell you, as your pastor, and I'm speaking on the rest of the pastors and their wives, we are all for you. We're not against you. We just have to preach the truth. God's creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The first place of creation and perfection in relationship, where they were meant to have sex and multiply and subdue the earth and be fruitful, was in the Garden of Eden. And the meaning of Eden is the place of pleasure and delight. Everything there was for pleasure and delight. God placed Adam and Eve in them, and His pleasure and delight was in them and for them. And in chapter 3, though, unfortunately, things get a little bit squirrely with the lies of the devil. And I again say, don't live the lie. So we're going to look at some of those lies today in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now I'm going to read quite a lengthy piece, and then we're going to break it all down. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the beasts of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God actually say? Some says, did God really say? You shall not eat of any tree in the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will surely not die. Come on. For God knows, verse 5, that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took its fruit, she touched it, and ate it, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And hence was sown Fig Leaf Ministry International, which so many people subscribe to today. Sometimes the lie or the trap that the enemy sets is so subtle, it even sounds good. He's a great orator. It makes it sound good in your head when he whispers it to you. You go, yeah, unless you know God's word. And that's why when we preach, I think every single pastor, person who preaches here, always somewhere along the line says, read your Bible. Know your word. Know the Bible. If you don't know your Bible, you're going to listen to those little subtle things in your head. Yeah, that sounds good. God is still calling as he did for Adam and Eve. Where are you, Adam? Where are you? Even when Adam and Eve had fallen, God still came calling for them. He loves us all so much. These lies I've called traps. They're a downward set of stairs, if you would, into a cavern or into a dark place. Into the last days, when you realize, when we get to number 5, you will see it. Man, I'm in this trap and the trap has sprung and I'm stuck in here. And I want to dispel these traps for you today. So number 1, setting the trap of lies. Trap number one, did God actually say? The point is, the devil wants us to question God's word. The trap is that God's word is not completely true. Don't believe it. Don't be silly. How can that be even possible? How can that be true? He wants to plant ideas in our heads that God's word is not trustworthy. Remember, truth is older than falsehood. Truth came first, then falsehood came. God, the creator of all, is truth. God is truth. The enemy from the beginning has attempted to put doubts into our heads that we would neglect God's word, that the devil come, nah, don't worry about it. You read your Bible today, no, leave it. Just you can do it tomorrow. That's why we say devotions, reading God's word, are so important. Well, I don't have time. I suggest you make time as gently and kindly as I can. He's attempted to do this. This was his attack of lies then, and it is still the same archetypal attack today. He is not a creator. He's not an originator of anything. What he told Adam and Eve today, he still thousands of years later is saying the same thing to you. He hasn't changed his tack. Did God really say? You might think the Bible is irrelevant. It's too old for today's society. Come on, Pastor. It's just a bunch of stories. Have you heard that one before? Well, we have to understand. This is the first lie will put you on your spiritual downward slide into this dungeon. Even the truths of God's word sometimes will challenge you and confront you. How about this? Love everybody. Love your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Love those that persecute you or despise you. Again, what are you saying, God? How do I do this? Forgive everyone. You go, I'm not so sure about this one. I don't know if I can like people. I don't know if I can love them all, Lord. Well, no, he tells us, love everybody. Pray for your enemies. Those that are gossiping and saying nasty things behind your back, the Lord says, pray for them. Are you going to trade God's word for a lie and live God's word? Or are you going to have that word subservient to your feelings, how I feel, my thoughts, my wishes, how I want to do things? Is it God's word over me, or is it me over God's word? How do you place yourself in this? Here's the truth. If we are challenged and confronted by God's word, that's a good thing. Are you sure? I'm absolutely sure. Why? Because that'll help us to grow and to mature and to have the rough edges sandpapered off of us. And that'll help us to become more Christ-like, because that is part of our mission, to be more Christ-like, right? Look at this. This is Paul is celebrating a church of integrity and thanking them for the revelation of the Word of God and how it's working in their believers. Could this be written to the Bridge Church? 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, as you are today, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but at what it really was, the word of God, which is at work in you, believers. Can we confidently say that? Yeah, the word of God. We received it as the word of God. We didn't look for all the other agendas. Timothy Keller says this, if your God never disagrees with you, you might just be worshiping an idolized version of yourself. This is good news for you today. This is good news for me today. Trap number two, you will surely not die. No, Christian, don't be silly. He didn't mean that. Well, the point is that the devil mocks the negative consequences of sin. He's mocking God's word. That's nonsense, man. Don't listen to that. Remember this. The devil is devoid of conscience when it comes to you and me. When we go down his route and his plans, he just goes, they become foolish in their minds. Look at the folly in their hearts. How stupid are they? He's excited about it. He has no conscience about how you are going to handle it. The choice you make, it contrasts with the word. Don't worry, sin won't harm you. Nothing's going to hurt you. Just do it. Everything will be fine. Go ahead. It's all right. Satan can only effectively work when he has established a foothold. When we give him the foothold, he cannot take from us. He can only receive what we give him. I pray you're getting this today. He gains footholds in many areas of our lives when we don't follow the parameters that our loving Heavenly Father has set in relationships, in our habits, our daily habits, our marriages, in your parenting, our parenting, in your finances. When you don't get that right, when we succumb to the lie and don't follow God's plan, he said, look, touch, taste. God said, don't look, don't touch, don't taste. The devil said, no, it's okay. See, you touched it. She touched it. See, you didn't die. You're okay. Just take it. And now you got a third now. Taste it now. Taste it. You know, sometimes seeing and looking is actually not that bad. It's what you do with it when you taste it. That's what's bad. It's better not to look or touch or taste. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It seemed okay. I didn't get it. I didn't really understand. Well, today I hope you do get it. We think our paths of life seem fine. No, I'm going along. I don't need anybody to tell me. I don't need any help. I'm just doing my thing. And then we wonder why God or anyone else would have a different opinion. Well, it's my life. I can do what I like with it. Sure you can. Because the warning is very clear. That path leads to death. Please hear my heart. I'm not trying to convince you today. His word, Holy Spirit and your conscience is what will convince you. I just want to reveal God's word to you today. I'm not trying to twist your arm. I'm just doing my level best to show you what God's word says. The Bible describes us all as sheep who go astray. Now, that doesn't just mean the four of you who decide that. No, no, all of us. That's inclusive here. We are sheep who go astray. And God places fences, parameters, you've heard me, around us to protect his sheep and to protect us so we don't get damaged. Everything God created, he created with parameters, everything. You think of something, and we can show you the parameter if you can't read it for yourself. And why? Because it's for your own good. I'm trying to labor this point that we get there. Everything God created with parameters. Example, let's put it this. A fire has a parameter in a home, has a parameter. You build the fire in the fireplace or the hearth. You build it there. You do not take it and put it on your favorite Persian carpet. Because if you build a fire there, somebody's going to get Russell Peters, going to get hurt. And so we don't. We put it in the fireplace. Passions need parameters. No, you don't understand. We're just having fun. We're two consenting adults. We can do what we like. We can, you know, God has a parameter for that too. It's called marriage. He created marriage and sex to go hand in hand, not to be outside of a marriage. Trap number three, I need to move on a little bit. Number three, the devil accuses God of evil intent. He says, you know, when you eat it, if it, your eyes will be open. That's nonsense, man. God doesn't want your eyes open. He's a mean God. God's mean. He's unkind. He's a killjoy. He's killjoy suprema. He doesn't want you to have fun. Righteousness is boring. Sin is fun. Now, the Bible says there's a season for everything, and so perhaps for some of you, there was a season where your sin was fun, but it led to a sticky end. This is a lie to entrap you, because God doesn't have evil intent. The devil wants you to think he does, that he's mean. The sad point is that you want to go your own way, and too many people, Christians, are willing to settle for second best when there is the best to be had. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's a promise from our Father. When we do it his way, then his presence, there's joy. I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about joy, unsustainable joy. His plans are the best of the best. He doesn't want me to enjoy life. No, he wants you. We did a whole series on that called The Abundant Life. Go and listen to it again. Some people think they are actually wiser than God. And they will come alongside you, and they will say things like this to you. If I was God, I would tell you, you can do anything you want to do. You can be anything you want to be. You can do whatever makes you feel good. Those are just straight lies from the enemy. I don't talk about you. Let me talk about me. My dream was to be a rock star for God. You've heard me say that. I don't sing like that. And no matter how much voice lessons and training I go through, I'm never, ever going to be a rock star for Jesus. I'm never going to be Richie or Jessica. I'm not gifted that way. Well, you can be what? No, I can't. That's stupid. Bridget, many years ago, had an agency where people came to her for jobs. A recruitment agency. And a guy came there, and he had thick glasses. His eyesight was not the greatest. And she said to him, what would you like to be? What is your dream? And he said, I'd love to be an airline pilot. And she went, okay, that's never going to happen. He would never pass the visual test to be an airline pilot. There are just certain things we can't do and can't be. Now, we have the reality of, like, I'm not saying don't work for something, don't have a dream, don't have a vision. I'm not saying that. There's just like, if I was God, then I'd, just do whatever you want to do. Anyway, The simply is not true for that. Anyway, the most loving thing God can do is call us out of our sin. That's the most loving thing He can do, is point that our sin to us and say, you shouldn't be on this road. God is not correcting us. He is calling out to us. Chapter number 4. The devil advertises sin as beneficial to you. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. What the devil is lying to you about, that your life would be better with you leading it. Now listen, if you lead it, you make your decisions, your life will be better. It won't just be okay, it will be better for you, because then you'll just be like God. And we like to think sometimes we're this little God. And I've heard some people try and motivate, speak that the God in me is greater than me and I. No. God is a good God. The God in me is greater than he that is in the world. That doesn't make me a God. There is only one. The problem is that when we start thinking like that, we take another step and then we start living on our feelings. You can just be, you can feel, do whatever is good for you. Well, let me tell you again, I've said this before, and I'm sure other pastors have said it. You cannot trust your feelings. You cannot follow your feelings. If I allowed my feelings to override my calling, I probably wouldn't be your pastor. Is that honest? Your feelings are not to be trusted. There are certain things you feel, and we shouldn't follow them. What we do is we follow faith and we follow convictions by the Holy Spirit. Feelings will always lie to you. How do I know? Well, in your marriage, when you get to box a little bit and you allow your feelings, well, you just don't love me anymore. And let's just get divorced. Those are feelings, silly feelings. Children, when you're fighting, parents, when you're fighting with your children, you're thinking, how far away is grandma? I'm going to send this kid to grandma. I just can't deal with him anymore. When you're at work and you fight with your boss or work colleague, I've had enough. I'm going to go look for another job now. You don't act out on your feelings because they are not true and they're not right most of the time. Make right choices. Choices lead, feelings follow. If we make the right choice, our feelings will follow those right choices. I made a great choice 35 years ago to marry this amazing woman. I know. That was an investment for the future. I didn't know it then, but it was. Because the day we got married, it was all glorious. When I saw her walk down where we got married outside, and so when I saw her walk past our pool and I looked at her, my heart skipped a beat. And if you've ever stood in a marriage thing and watched your spouse walk down the aisle, your heart has jumped to the left. And I know for a week later, our veins were popping. What are you doing? Those are our feelings overriding our good choice to get married. And we have to understand the best choice you can make, as Pastor Kevin always says, be all in. We want to be all in. Matthew 6:33. We want to understand that in a good way, where we say, I can follow God's ways even when I don't feel like it. I can get up and be here by 9:15 in the morning even when I don't feel like it. I can be on time. And I'll just commend you all. Well done for coming and being on time. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Think of that for a moment. I can do what I like with my body. Not so much. Within you, whom you have from God, you are not your own. For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Honor God with your bodies in every aspect of your life. They are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We make good choices to reap benefits later. We live in a self-gratification society. We have to learn not to self-gratify, and we have to look at the investment down the line that is coming. Giving up something now for something later isn't a sacrifice. Well, you don't know how I had to sacrifice to be here. No, you didn't. There was only one sacrifice ever, and that was Jesus on the cross. Someone said to me the other day, how do you feel about like doing two services? I said, man, I get to preach the gospel twice on a Sunday. Isn't that exciting? Yeah, well, for me it is anyway. Trap number five. The devil uses sin to create shame that destroys our future relationships. The very thing he lied to you about in number 1, 2, 3, and 4 now becomes your prison. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They realized the trap they had fallen. And I want to say to you today, the devil is saying to you, it's too late, run and hide, just as they did. And I'm saying to you today, it is not too late. Even if you try and hide, God is still calling you. Your pastors are still calling you. They are still calling you out. They are still looking to you. When you get to this stage, you think, now God's definitely out to get me. Everybody knows everything. Now what do I do? Everybody does not know everything. It's like when we get into worship here, and sometimes you're just like, eh. And other times, oh. And I say, well, she's like, they're worshiping. Yeah, people are not looking at you. Can I say this? You're not that important to them. They're worshiping God. They've got this God here, and you, they've got that right. We're here to worship God. Whether you run around and whether you raise your hands, whether you fold your arms, people aren't watching you. God is watching. Are you worshiping Him and giving thanks to Him? Are you abandoning yourself to Him only? Or are you thinking, well, I'm too scared to clap in case somebody watches me. I don't want to raise my hand. What are they going to think? Most people, now don't all look around, but most people, because I'm the pastor, I can, their eyes are closed. They're just abandoned to God, lost in the song, worshiping Him. Anyway, where did I get to? It's not too late. You don't need to run and hide. Psalm 34:5, look at this. Those who look to Him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. This is the word of the living God to ever. You know, shame is a self-imposed thing. We impose shame and guilt upon ourselves because we think and live the lie. And if we don't, sometimes we might even have to justify ourselves. We make comparisons. Well, my sin's not as bad as Bridget's, and I'm okay. I'm all right. I can still do my thing. Let me tell you, there is no degree of sin, which means there's also no degree of fallenness. Fallen is fallen. As the body of Christ, we must learn to accept and adjust ourselves where the world accepts fallen people. Come and just do what we're doing. Come and be like us. Well, that's what the world is saying. Come, we'll talk about that three-letter word no one wants to talk about, and we'll actually show you how to do it. They say, come and join our fallenness. We're good. I've said this many times, and I'm going to say it again. During this pandemic, coming here is the safest place you can be. Overrides everywhere else that you go. And the leadership here continue to make this every effort to keep it that way. That's just from the pandemic point of view and anxiousness and all that kind of stuff that Dom spoke about. In the same manner, this is also the safest place you can come where you can be vulnerable, you can be authentic, and you can be safe. This is the safest place where you can be validated in Christ Jesus. Closing now. How do we respond to these traps? Number one, you can get defensive. I'm who I am. I was born this way. I'm like I am. I will do my thing. Don't you tell me what I can do, what I can't do. Truthfully, I'm not going to fight you on it. I'm going to pray for you. You have your own permission to do that. But let me just say respectfully to you, that was what the devil said. If you go and read Isaiah chapter 14, he said, I will 5 times. I will ascend to the heavens. I will do this. I will be like that. I will be like God. And then he fell. My prayers for you is that trust you will walk away from these lies and these traps that have been set for you. Take on the spirit of Jesus. Jesus didn't say, I will. He said, no, my Father, what you will. Not my will, but yours be done. Truly, Jesus didn't want to die, but let us take on the spirit of Jesus and say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. I want to step out of these lies, these traps. The second thing we could have is remorse. You could say, I agree with you, but you don't understand. It's just too late for me. I've done too much bad stuff. I'm used goods. I'm being cast aside. I've committed too many sins. I've broken too many relationships. I've stepped around. I've done stuff. Taken too many drugs. You pick it, whatever's in your head. Jesus didn't come to point out your sin to you. He came to set you free from that sin. The woman caught in adultery, we know the story. When they came and they were like there, and Jesus was writing in the sand, and they were saying, well, what happens? Eventually, he looks at it and says, where are your accusers? He says, they're not here. He says, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. He didn't say, oh, you bad woman, I will send you to 5 weeks of counseling, and when you've done that, then you're going to have to go and do this and do that, and then 5 times a day say, I'm sorry. He didn't say any of that. He said, I don't accuse you either. I don't condemn you either, but go and sin no more. When we've come into the grace of God and we stand in that grace, go and sin no more. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And then the third one is the best choice, in my opinion anyway, is repentance. It means to turn around. It's a positive biblical word. Some of you are still have habits and sins. Some of you still feel, man, I need to run in hard. That's often borne out by when you actually come, you do something and we don't see you at church for weeks. I'm not talking about the pandemic. I'm talking about we don't see you at church. And then you, hey, what's that? Oh, no, dude, I'm just sorting my life out. I'm just trying to get my act together. Home's not the place to get your act together. With the body of believers, with the family that loves you is where you get your act together. Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. I'll tell you now from the pastoral team here, neither do we condemn you. I've tried to help you today to dispel the lies, the skewed views you might have. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. None of our godly sorrow. The last slide. Repentance is a moment of pain. Being unrepentant is a lifetime of pain. And so this morning, if we could just stand together, please. I just want to pray for you. And then Pastor Dom's going to come and give announcements. And if you still feel you'd like some prayer, we're going to set aside a space for you to pray while the others leave. We want to minister to you this morning. We want to give you opportunity to go, man, I believed some of those lies. I don't want to believe them anymore. I want to live in truth. I want to live for God's plan. So, Father, we come to you today, Lord God, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness towards us. We thank you for your kindness, Lord. And Lord, we come and we just offer ourselves again to you as living sacrifices. And Father, we ask this today that you would help us to step out in faith. Let us be vulnerable and authentic, Lord. Lord, let us dispel these traps and these lies that we have succumbed to. And we say no more. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.